Blog Talk Radio.
Like it's been a week since we last spoke, but in reality it's just been 7 days. 7 long, strained days. So, it looks like Kamal's a little late to the party today, but that's understandable. She's on the left side of the country, and that's one of the states that has legalized marijuana. So, I'm not trying to throw anyone under the bus. I'm just saying. And as long as we keep this between you and I won't get hit in the head with a sock full of hot nickels. But until she gets here, I figured we should talk amongst ourselves about a few things that are in the current news cycle. And the most prevalent to me right now is the weather. The weather outside is frightful. Here on the East Coast, we're having continuous thunderstorms the last few days. There's been flooding all over the country, Midwest and in the East and the South. I don't know what's going on in the West. I usually leave that stuff to Kamal, but like I said, she's not here right now. She'll be here momentarily, I'm sure. However, we are having some crazy thunderstorms. I don't know if any of you are aware of or know what the term rolling thunder actually means. Now, yes, it was coined but it was used heavily during the Vietnam War, which was an operation of continuous carpet bombing that the United States did to Vietnam to try to bring the North to the peace table, to the negotiating table. But in reality, there's weather called rolling thunder. And that's, you know, you're used to seeing lightning and hearing a thunderclap and go, oh my God, lightning and thunder. But when you hear thunder continue for 30 seconds, 20, 30, 40 seconds, and it just rolls, and you might not see any associated lightning, that is kind of, to me, awe-inspiring and will make you sit up and pay attention to what's going on. Now, no one is blaming global climate change for this. I'm not saying it is global climate change. I am saying that it's happening, and it's pretty intense. As many of you know, I live in Baltimore City. I live high in Baltimore City on an upper level, not so much down in a valley. And I receive flood warnings on my smartphone when these things come through. And they have started coming through. What's today, Tuesday? It rained Sunday night, Monday night. And now tonight, and it may rain again tomorrow, but it has been intense. I feel like I live in, like, Seattle, which is a city that's a city and state that's constantly underwater, as far as I'm concerned. I think most of the residents there either have gills or get to work commuting and on boats. But it has been one crazy weather week so far. Temperatures have been up as high as 90-some degrees, and now they're predicting it'll be like 60-some next week, 60-some, 67, 68 degrees next week. It's incredible, thoroughly incredible. But that's my dalliance with weather for today. Like I said, I don't know what the weather's like on the West Coast, because quite frankly, I don't walk around with an aqualung on my back like I'm sure they do out there. Let's check in and see if our friend from the West is with us tonight. Kamal, is that
you? I'm here. It's me. And we haven't had rain for days. It's been, oh Lord, it's been the 90s. And low 90s, or low 90s, and high 80s. And, you know, after 86, 87, it's all hot as hell.
Well, I'm sorry that you haven't had any rain, but obviously it came here. So you can take this crap back.
We want it back because our grass is brown. And what people don't understand, ain't nobody here got air conditioners.
The grass may be brown where you are, but our grass has little Asian people combing through it for rice.
You're going to hell for that.
That is far, 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 far down the list on the things that are going to get me sent to the hot place. Far down the list. Speaking of going to hell, I have to bring this up.
I didn't do it.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You could have warned me, but you didn't. I watched Noah the other day, the Russell Crowe movie. I have one question.
I'm sorry.
Why? Why? On every level I can think of, I ask again, why? Why did they make the movie? Why did they greenlight the movie? Why did they produce the movie? Why did they let someone write the movie? Why didn't they read the Bible first? Why didn't they consult children? Whether you're a religious Christian or not, as a child, we are all told the Noah story. This wasn't it.
It wasn't about Moses?
It could have been. It most certainly could have. Like a train wreck, I couldn't stop looking at it. I watched it and I kept going, no, they can't. They can't. Really? Really? Okay, in your other life as a movie critic, did you see this thing?
No. I believe I was in California for a baby shower and I wasn't paying to see it.
Okay, so let me just say, okay, you know, we have no problem. You and I, and I'm going to group you in on this because you're just as guilty as I am. We have no problem messing with people in certain religious groups. I'm sure Liberace and the Popettes will be mentioned heavily on Judgment Day for us?
No, because I like Francis. I like Pope Frankie, so I've made amends. And
yeah, but
isn't Christianity the one where if you go to confessional and say I'm sorry, they forget it?
No, that's Catholicism, which is a Christian religion, yes, but Catholics are the only ones that confess.
Oh. Well, maybe I am going to hell.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be holding your hand when you crawl over. I can't think of any religious group or non-religious faction that would not be insulted. But this movie was not only bad from a biblical standpoint, it was just bad. Oh, my God. I can't believe they got $100 million. I mean, the movie cost $129 million to make, and it only made $100 million. I can't believe $100 million worth of business went to this movie. It was so incredibly ridiculous.
This sounds like me and Christianity. I got bamboozled.
Yeah.
Sounds like they got bamboozled, too.
Okay, so here's part of the problem with me. Since I was a little kid, I've always said that the funniest movie ever made was The Ten Commandments. I loved The Ten Commandments. As a little kid, you know, it came on every Easter Sunday, and I got to stay up to watch Moses split the Red Sea. That was it for me. That made my entire year, to stay up long enough to see Moses split the Red Sea, then I could go to bed. For years, I had no idea what came
Jedediah.
After that.
Jedediah?
No. No. That was Moses. And the movie, and I've talked about this before with you, Yul Brynner vogues through the entire movie. When the song came out, Vogue by Madonna, and the video, I was like, that's Yul Brynner. If you watch The Ten Commandments, every move Yul Brynner makes, every line he delivers, he finishes with a Vogue move.
Yul Brynner was a mad mofo.
Yul Brynner was bad.
Yul Brynner. I love
me too.
Yul Brynner. Mr.
I got nothing I can say bad about Yul Brynner. Nothing. Nothing.
I tell you what, they're remaking Westworld. He's going to roll over in his grave.
And he should, because that was like one of the first horror Western movies, if not the first horror Western movie.
How about Only?
I take that back. There was The Night of the Lepus. We talked about this movie with DeForest Kelly about the giant rabbits. That was a Western. So it wasn't horrible. It wasn't a horror movie. It was horrible. See these giant rabbits hopping down this set that was designed on someone's desk, obviously. Made it look like a Western town, these giant rabbits hopping through it.
Was that during the period in the 70s where they were having all these animal disaster flicks?
No, this was even before. I think that movie came out, it did come out before Star Trek, so it had to be early 60s. If not late 50s, it was during the period where, you know, the nuclear bomb created all kinds of and they about the giant ants and stuff.
No, it wasn't. I know that was them.
That was them. Them. Right. You're right. 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 Right.
Them.
So I have no qualms about saying certain things about certain religions. But the Ten Commandments would always crack me up because you had the woman playing Nefertiti breathfully calling for Charlton Heston, Moses. And you had
all them alabaster white people.
Right, right. Playing Egyptians and Jews. You had Edgar G. Robinson, which in the history of bad casting was probably the worst casting choice ever. The man who played Little Caesar played a Hebrew in Egypt. Where's your Moses now, see? Where's your Messiah now? I mean
I think that movie, both of us, because I don't know, nobody but me and you remember, and our mamas remember Edgar G. Robinson. See now, still a whippersnapper.
Get away from my door, see? Get away from my door, yeah. Troublemaker. Once I bring the Jews back, then Pharaoh and I'll be good. We'll be boys, you know what I'm saying? I mean, get some crew. Maybe my crew will go down there and we'll get Hebrews back. You see what I'm saying? So this movie was, I'm 52. For 50 years of my life, I thought this was the funniest movie I'd ever seen. Especially religious-based movie.
I'm picturing him busting out a Tommy gun. Pharaoh, oh, where do people go, see?
Where's your milk and honey now, huh? Look, you're going to make us a golden calf, you know what I'm saying? Me and the boys, when we take out back, you'll make us a golden calf. Aaron.
Or it's curtains for you, curtains.
The jig is up. Here comes Moses. Jesus, the cops. I mean, Jesus, it's Moses.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You know, and then there was just so much overacting in the movie. I mean, just everything about it was over the top. So, again, was the funniest religious-based movie that I'd ever seen until I watched this Noah movie. And I'm going to tell you, I don't mind spoiling it for those who didn't see it, but as bad as it is, you have to see it just to understand how bad it was. It really, to me, I was done when... Okay, so... Noah, in this movie, Noah understands. He has a dream. God doesn't actually talk to him and tell him to build an ark, like Bill Cosby said he did in one of the best comedic skits ever. He dreams this, and he says the Creator has a plan for me to do something. So he goes to visit his grandfather, who is Methuselah, which in the Bible, Methuselah is Noah's grandfather, and he's still alive. But in the Bible, Methuselah lived to be 700 and some years old. So his grandfather lets him know what the dream means, that he's got to, you know, save all the animals and build a big ark, build a boat. And they're in the middle of like this mountain range, or this, it almost looks like a moonscape. And Methuselah gives Noah a seed of a plant from the Garden of Eden. Now, nowhere have I read this in any biblical reference before, any Bible before, anywhere. But he gives him this seed, and Moses digs a hole in the ground with his finger, drops this seed, which is more like a marble, into the hole, and a well springs up, and it creates a lush forest, like instantly. Out of nothingness. You hear what I'm saying? Nothing. Nowhere. No how. Nothing.
Was his name Jack?
Right. It's like the beanstalk story. Instead of going up, it goes out. And it creates miles and miles of forest, and these trees pop up, and it's just incredible. So Moses goes about building the ark. And his kids at this time are children. And they roughly estimated, based upon some of the things they say, that is 10 years, it's taking Moses, it takes Moses and his children to build the ark. But they have help from these rock monster people that look like the heads from Easter Island. And they're helping Moses and his children build the ark.
It was Jack and the Beanstalk.
The rock monster people go from hating him and wanting to kill him to figuring that if they help him, God will show them favor. I'm sorry, the Creator will show them favor. So they build this thing. They start building this thing. And it, like I said, it takes about 10 years. And then all of a sudden, there are other people. And the other people are led by this evil king who says to Moses 10 years later, all this forest is mine. So your building is mine. You're building your building with my woods and with my wood out of my forest. Like, wait a minute, where'd y'all come from? Yeah, how you gonna claim the land? I planted the seed and I, boom, I've got the whole forest and you're gonna come, you have a town like right over the hill that you are like you're king of? If I hadn't planted the seed, there would be nothing now. So they're evil and they want to get on the ark. They don't think of it like they don't think the world's going to end. They just want to get on the ark. So consequently, eventually.
It sounds like the little red hen. He said that the sky was falling and didn't nobody want to help him bake the bread.
Right. Henny penny, little hen, whatever, right. But Moses doesn't tell them the world is coming to an end. He just tells them, nah, you can't get on the boat. And by the way, it's a boat. And like, well, we're going to get on the boat anyway. Like, well, no, you can't. So just go away because I got the rock people backing me up. And the rock people, like when they're resting, they become like these rock formation boulders and they stand up and they're like, hey, we're the rock people and we'll be jacking you up. So I can't make this up. I don't know how anyone else made this up. The villagers and the king, they go back to their village and they start creating weapons that they're going to attack Noah and the rock people with. And they have welder's masks and they start welding guns. They make guns in the time before time.
So here's my question. They just see the boat or whatever it is and just decide that they want it?
Yeah. Yeah. All of a sudden it's
I wonder
there,
if they can sleep in a bucket.
There.
They just walk in the boat.
We get us on the, but I mean, all through the movie, I said I could make this a drinking movie, but it wouldn't work because you'd be drunk, so drunk in the first half hour of the movie, you'd never see the rest of it. If you call out everything that's wrong in this movie in the first 20 minutes, you'll be like, oh my God. Even if you're not religious, if you just know the outskirts of the Noah story, the flood story from the Bible, you would tear this movie apart. They're wearing, I mean, first of all, I think we even discussed this from the trailers. They're wearing pants. Moses and his boys had boots that like Timberlands with leather wrapped around them. they had work gloves.
Wow.
I mean,
well, you know what? That'll learn you. You'll never watch another movie made in Hollywood and expect it to be accurate.
It didn't even have to be accurate. Could it at least be kind of like, come on now? I mean, they could have made this a science fiction movie and set it in space and, you know, on another planet, and the ship could have, you know, filled with animals and come to Earth, and it would have been more believable than what they were doing with this. But when these people came out with guns shooting the rock people, I was completely through. Now, if you want to get really actual gun type gun, there was a metal that I thought at first was gold, but this metal was flammable. So they would use this metal to, they would light this metal and it would be like illuminating, but the village people they were taking these rocks made out of this metal, and they were putting it in the barrel of these long tubes and firing it at the rock people, and when it hit the rock people, it exploded. So they made guns. And they were doing metallurgy, which I'm sure, even if, you know, even in biblical times they were doing metallurgy, but no one wore a welder's mask. I mean, you can watch Westerns, you can look at Western history. The blacksmiths, they didn't wear welder's masks, you know, in the 1800s. Not only were they welder's masks, they had the headbands so you could flip them down over their faces.
Wow.
What is...
Well, he did say this was his own interpretation, so he interpreted the hell out of it.
I'm telling you, if you and I are going to hell for Liberace and the Popettes, we're going to have to wait in line for the man who directed this movie, because he is really... And I don't know how much you learned of the Noah story when you were a kid or growing up or heard, whatever, but we were always told, and it's in the Bible, that they were on the boat for so long after the rain stopped. Oh, and that's the other thing. The rain didn't cause the world to flood. It started raining really heavy, and then water just spouted up out of the ground and floated the boat and started drowning people. I guess the rain was just to let you know that, you know, the earth was about to open up. But in the Bible story, biblical story that I know, they released a raven, to go see if they could find land, and the raven returned and didn't have, you know, returned to the boat, didn't have anything to prove there was land, even his feet weren't muddy. And then the next day, Moses released another raven, and that one didn't, you know, come back with evidence. And then another day he released a dove, and the dove comes back with a twig in its beak, and they realize, oh, there's land, so the water's receding. In this movie, the ark crash lands on some dry land, and a couple hours later, the dove comes back, and they go, oh, there's land. Well, yeah, there's land, goddammit. We hit it. Why even include the dove if you're going to invalidate the need for the dove? Who in Hollywood said this is a good idea? Just like M. Night Shyamalama Ding Dong, sometimes you got to tell a director, nah, we're not going to do this movie because you don't know what the hell you're doing. I don't get it.
Glad I'd missed it.
But it is so bad, I want to have a watching party so people can see it and go, oh, no, they didn't. I mean, it is so bad you have to see it just to see how bad it is. Every chance they got to screw this up, they screwed it up. And then again, like I said, the movie was, it was a poorly done movie. It was just, it was, there were animals on the ark that, if you believe in the ark, the biblical story over evolution, there were animals on the ark that I've never seen before. So, you know, the whole deal is, if the animal didn't get on the ark, it doesn't exist today. But they were like elephant-type creatures with downward-turned tusks and no trunks. I literally was flabbergasted by the audacity of this man in this movie, the director in this movie. And when they're on the boat and they're trying to, like, Moses is telling them stories, to keep them company, you know, keep them entertained, I guess, on a boat because there was no television, no internet, and the iPads weren't working. He tells them the story of
how God created.
So you're not even getting on the boat. I can't take my iPad.
Nope.
I'm getting the boat. But he.
Nope.
He
see y'all on the flip.
Moses, Noah starts telling his kids the story of how the earth was created, the world was created, and they show a montage showing evolution. So they show creatures, you know, starting out as like one-cell critters, and then they start evolving into fish, and then the fish evolve into other creatures, and these creatures come out of the water onto the land, and they keep evolving. I'm like, I don't really, huh? How do you... I think maybe what they should do, they should take this movie, they should make the people in Israel, the Palestinians, the Egyptians, the Christians, the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, and United States, and make everyone watch this movie so they can all have something else to hate. And we can all agree on something. We can't agree on anything else. We can agree on this. This movie was horrible, and we should declare war on the man who did this movie. It was as insulting to my eye as any movie besides I See Dead People made by M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong.
Well, I don't know if I want to call a fatwa on the man, but...
Yeah. Remember in Trading Places when the Dukes were explaining to Eddie Murphy how they make their money, and they say...
and he looks at
belly.
The camera.
Right. Pork bellies, which come from pigs, and he looks at the camera. Right. That's what I caught myself doing. I turned toward the camera in my house and went, am I watching this shit for real? Did they really just try to do this? Are they serious? Oh. Movie was the worst. The worst. Okay, so I'm off of that soapbox.
Wow.
I could not believe it. So, what's happening in the Great Northwest?
Well, we talked about the weed shortage on day one.
Has it started a type of zombie apocalypse now? People running around eating each other to get weed?
No, but, you know, I don't know specifically how weed is grown. However, with the heat that's been happening, there may not have been enough water for the crops. So we might have anarchy in 4 months. Because we're having a water shortage.
Oh, my goodness.
I know, right?
Where'd they do that at?
He would have water shortages. Well, see,
water
I mean, how do you have water? How do you have a water shortage in Seattle? You ask.
Yeah,
we even have wildfires right now
there.
Because we get so much excess water, we oversell it to California and Arizona during the summer months. Because we're like, hey, it'll rain. Don't worry about it. Now it's like, oops. can we have some of that back? Because you see,
y'all ain't gonna use all that, are you?
Right. We just take a little titch. Because people who don't believe in global warming only have to look at Seattle for the past 3.5 weeks. We had rain 3 days ago, and it was still 84 degrees outside, and it just kind of was like this little cloud burst.
just enough to piss everybody off. Because we were like, oh, relief. Thank God. Come on over here and get the... It's gone? Before I could even roll a rain barrel, it was over. And so, like I was telling you, ain't nobody here got air conditioning. What you need it for? There's been a run on portable air conditioners. There's been a run on fans.
Get out.
I'm telling you, we are not used to this heat, and I'm not used to it anymore either. I break out in sun rashes now. I don't know. I get, you know, growing up in California, I was used to the sun, and it didn't affect me poorly, but since I've been up here nearly 20 years, I'm out in the sun.
Since you were five. Moved there when you were five.
An hour, right. Since I moved here in kindergarten. You know, I'm out in the sun for, and I still forget, you know, because I'm like, shoot, I grew up in California. I'm black. This ain't going to bother me. Negro, my arms are all broken out. The back of my neck is all jacked up. I look like a raspberry.
I am going.
The only one.
I'm going to see if I can find a picture I took was taken of me when I fell asleep. I consider myself not fair-skinned at all. And years ago, had to be 85 or 86, I went on a fishing trip out in the Chesapeake Bay. And I had a tank top on. And I fell asleep on the boat. And someone took a picture of me with my camera. And in the picture, I have on sunglasses, a black hat, and a black tank top. You
out
can't tell.
Heat?
You're right, because I don't tan. You know, I tan. I don't burn. What the hell? You know? You can't tell where the line of the shirt and my skin are, or the hat, or the sunglasses are.
See, it's a myth that black people don't burn, because I did burn in California twice. It just takes us a long time to do it. If you're out in the sun, well, it used to be now. Apparently, I only have to be out in the sun for 3 hours. But if you're out in the sun at 8 o'clock in the morning and in the water until 8 o'clock at night, you're going to get burned. I don't care how black you are.
Yeah, well, this was 30 years ago, just about coming up on 30 years ago. And I'm here to tell you, I burnt, and I, you know, the ozone layer, whatever it is, has gotten so bad, it wasn't as bad then. But I was out there, and I slept long enough that I burnt. I peeled, you know, me growing up, going to school with a lot of white kids, you know, end of the summer, we'd always, you know, I'd always be glad to see them so I could slap them on the back or grab their arms, and they'd scream and holler. Because, you know, they were burnt, you know, and you leave an impression on their skin because they were so burnt. The same thing happened to me. I mean, peeling skin off of me like I was a leper or something, you know, and it, painful. Skin hurt to the touch. Hurt to the touch.
Well, I itch. And I'm just done. I'm like, you know, it's like it just goes from like one extreme to the other. That's freaking global warming. You know, we get sick of the rain. It rains day in, day out, and we're all like, oh my God, I can't wait for summer to get here so I can get a little sun. Now the sun won't go away. It's been hotter here than it's been in San Diego. When does that ever happen? And there's no end in sight. It's supposed to get down into the 70s towards the end of the week, but the 10-day forecast, no rain. 0% chance of rain.
Well, we're getting it. We're getting all the rain you're not getting. We're getting all
back because my grass is brown and my skin is bumpy.
And I'll tell you something else, showing how much I know of the drug game. I thought you grew marijuana in potted plants inside of a cool cave-like complex with an irrigation system above it. I didn't know that you could grow it outside where you get rainwater on it.
Well, I don't know the specifics myself, but I know that they have found, like, pot farms and forests here before it was legal. And I know that it is grown inside because I told you about the house two doors down that caught on fire that time, right?
Mm-mm. I don't think I remember that.
My husband and I, Katie was 2, and we were all getting in the car in the morning to go to work. We were going to drop her off at daycare and go to work. And then I saw just the smoke billowing out of the space between, like, the easements and the wall. And I told my husband, and he started banging on the windows and banging on the doors trying to get people out. And then nobody was coming out, and meanwhile I had called 911, and the fire department is a quarter of a mile away. So they came over in full force. They made a training mission out of it. They brought all the new recruits and stuff. And I have a cul-de-sac with maybe 6 houses, so it's not really big. So once all the fire trucks and stuff got here, we couldn't leave. And we were waiting outside. So when everybody packed up, we could go, and there's just all this smoke just billowing out of the house. And so much, and this big, this smoke cloud just kept coming over us. And it wasn't so bad that, it was burning our eyes and making our throats hurt. We would have moved out the way at that point. That's common sense. You don't want to stand in the middle of smoke. And then all of a sudden, my daughter said, "Mommy, I'm getting really hungry." I said, "What, baby?" She said, "Mommy, I'm hungry," because she's 2. I said, "Baby, you just ate." And then I said, "Baby, I'm kind of hungry, too." And we had breakfast together. And so, this is like an hour into us standing out there and billowing smoke. And I didn't catch the smell. I know what marijuana smells like, but I guess the combination of it being an electrical fire kind of masked the smell of weed. And then finally, a police officer came outside and said, he came over to us. He said, "Does anybody live there?" I said, "I've never seen them but twice." I said, "I just thought we worked, my husband and I worked really crazy hours. I just thought they worked the opposite schedule." He said, "Well, have you noticed your electricity bill going up?" And I said, "Well, yeah, but, it's been kind of cold, so I've been running the heater a little bit." They were stealing electricity. And the entire house was a pot farm. And the electricity, the wiring caught on fire and set the weed on fire. And so we were standing there for an hour and a half in secondhand weed smoke, getting hungry, and we couldn't figure out why.
That's awesome.
Right. And when he told me, I was like, "I've had my baby out in this." And then she said, "Peace, officer, I'm hungry." I said, "Please don't call CPS on me." I didn't know I had my babies in the middle of a big weed cloud. And he started laughing. And then she said, "I want food now." And he said, he was a black guy, he said, "Go get that baby some food."
go get a cheeseburger, a hamburger, a hot dog, a pizza.
Right. And he said, "And take it to the doctor because y'all been out here an hour and a half. That baby might have weed poisoning." And then I was like, "Okay,
precious."
Well, but I guess, I was getting into the I don't give a shit phase of the high. I was like,
"Okay.
Oh, we'll get us something to eat, maybe."
Relax, it's all good.
Right, just chill out. So, and people in my family grew weed, but just, for personal use. but I don't remember how specifically it was done. But up here, they frequently stumble across, you know, weed patches out in the forests. So they grow outside somehow. And then they lay in wait for the person to come and collect their stash, and then they arrest them for growing 5 pounds of weed. Well, they used to. I don't know what they're doing.
What they do now.
I do know, like we were talking last week, they're really trying to control it. You know, you have to have permits and all this stuff, so I imagine people still get arrested. That's all that's been going on in the Pacific Northwest. There's still, you know, I mean, on the West Coast in general, in the Southwest, they're still acting ridiculous over these kids.
Yeah, let's you know, we've got to talk about that. And that, it's so rare that I don't want to say it's rare, because it's not that it's rare. It's not even unusual. But it's a shame when a week later we're still debating a crazy news story, or we still have to talk about a crazy news story a week later. Clive and Bundy lasted 3 weeks for us. Of course, we will always be touching on gun control, and of course, the whole Trayvon Martin story lasted way too long.
And Daryl Issa won't stop messing with Holder, so I suspect we'll be talking about that for a while.
True.
But I mean, they've already sent back 22 kids to Honduras. But I mean, I think that this story is deeper than anybody really talks about, because, you know, the president has been trying to get judicial nominees through for literally 5 years. And part of what is most needed in this situation are immigration judges. I think I've had too much weed.
Easy for you to say.
Easy for me to say. You know
what
I mean.
Let me go light up my neighbor's house. Let me go light up my house.
Right. But, I mean, they need those judges to sit there and listen to these cases and decide if these kids have asylum or not. I mean, I understand. There's two sides for me. There's my intellectual side, and there's my mommy emotional side. And my mommy emotional side just wants to open up my arms and just say, come on, baby, and just take all of them home. And then, you know, the intellectual side says, well, there's a process that has to be followed, and, you know, we need to make sure that these kids have a good case for asylum. And then I go back to the mommy side of me, well, yeah, they get asylum. Do you know what's going on over there? You know, I'm pissed off with Mexico because they're, you know, they're just letting that train come through, the train by feet and the train by rail. You know,
I think in Mexico there's a sign that says, welcome to Mexico, the U.S. border's this way.
Right. And I understand what's going on in Mexico, because we've talked about it before, you know, when we were talking about immigration before the kids were coming on. You know, I mean, there are situations, these cartels will go to a farmer's house and say, you will grow this crop. And you will figure out how to get it across the United States, or I will rape your children and your wife every day. Your children, boy, girl, 3, 13, whatever. And I will do it in front of you, and then I will decapitate you. I mean, I'm not making it up. I mean, that's how dire it is in parts of these countries, so I get it. But the Mexican government is so corrupt, so corrupt. And, you know, if Mexico did what they were supposed to do, we wouldn't have the issues that we have, because they got to go through Mexico before they get here.
Right. But, and, you know, it's been my lament for decades that the reason it's senseless to me for Mexico or Canada to even need a military, because no one's going to attack them. Right. Nobody gets mad enough at Mexico to want to launch a war against Mexico. No one gets mad enough at Canada to want to fight Canada, because they have to fight us if they do that. So
right.
You would think Mexico could devote their resources that they don't have for their military, turn it inward to clean up the mess that they have going on within their own borders.
It's corrupt. What Mexico needs to do is take that money and hire us. And I hate being the world's policeman, but at this point, I feel like we would be protecting ourselves. I'm not saying invade Mexico, but in order for us to stem the tide of drugs coming in, I'm not talking about people, drugs coming in, and to help facilitate keeping the people safe. Because that's why most of them come here, not just for money, but for safety purposes. I say we put SEAL Team 6 on that railroad track and then have them fan out and start taking out the cartel. I'd rather all the stuff that they did in Iraq and Afghanistan, I'd rather see them hitting the cartels with that madness.
Well, and as we've discussed before, that right there is a perfect job for returning vets who can't find work.
Mm-hmm.
You're now a member of an elite force that's going to keep the craziness from coming here. And I know I mentioned before that I have an ancestor that I have to call him an ancestor, though, you know, his son. Well, his grandson is a cousin of mine that I know. You know, I never met the grandfather, but he served with Black Jack Pershing it wasn't even a war, it was an excursion, United States excursion into Mexico to try to capture Pancho Villa.
I went to Pershing Middle School. I mean, Pershing Junior High.
There you go. So it's going to take some crazed incident where San Diego, Mexico, Mexican border, Mexico, New Mexico, Texas, Mexico border, where some drug cartel is going to really cross the line and do one of these crazed attacks on citizens in the U.S. side, and that's what's going to spur military action into Mexico to start cleaning this up, United States military action into Mexico to start cleaning this up.
Right, and they
and
don't have the terrain that Afghanistan has. These little Negroes ain't going to be hiding in caves. Now, what they will do is use villages as human shields because they're ruthless like that.
Yeah, and they have a tunnel system, I understand. But some house-to-house fighting and all that, that can happen. But when you tell, it might even be, you know, Cozumel or Cancun. When America can't send tourists to a well-loved resort for fear of being shot by armed gangs, oh, then it's going to be a whole different story.
But you know what, though? They don't hide. They buy the biggest, flashiest house they can. We got unmanned drones. Shit. You don't think I would have blown up 3-4 houses by now?
Yeah, they do it in the movies. Which one of those movies did Arnold do that? Because he did that in a lot of movies. I don't remember in Mexico.
No, he was fighting some drug cartel some in one of these movies, and went in there with a group of SEAL team, and then blew that mother up.
Well, oh, I think you're talking about Predator. Not Predator, Commando. Commando.
Commando. Yeah, I was getting ready to say Cobra, but it was Commando.
Yeah, Cobra was your cousin, Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, well, you know, they all look alike to me.
Ooh, ooh. How dare you get your Europeans, your Italians, and your Austrians confused? That's so racist.
I know. What are you going to do about it? So, anyway, you know, and I'm still disgusted with the rhetoric that's coming from within our borders. You know, oh, they're carrying diseases. Oh, they're doing, you know what, sit down somewhere. Sit down somewhere. And, you know, you can't expect the president to break the law at the same time you expect him to follow the law. You're trying to sue him now for what you deem to be illegal activities on his part, skirting the Constitution. There is a law that Bush put in place. He's following that law. And he can't, you know, I'm so sick of Cuellar. He's a dime now. He's a Democrat in name only. I'm sick of him. The president can't go down to the border. He can't, because that would be an implicit send me, come on in. Then he puts himself in the place of being considered heartless and cruel. You met with those kids and you still sent them home. He can't do that. And I'm sick of them comparing this to Katrina. This is nothing like Katrina, because Katrina was our own people, our own citizens that the administration turned their back on and did nothing. And what they did was a cluster. They can't keep saying this is Obama's Katrina. It's two totally different things.
It's funny that,
you know?
It's funny when I hear that, when I hear Obama's Katrina, when everybody on the right refused to say Katrina was Bush's Katrina. It's like they refused to say 9/11 was Bush's 9/11. But they want Obama to have such a natural disaster to bring him down in the eyes of the people who voted for him. You know, I saw a clip where a woman was, I'm not sure if she was in the city that you were talking about last week, but this woman was yelling at the kids coming over.
It had to have been, because I think that's the only real – there was supposed to be like some protest today, but I don't know what happened. But it had to have been, because Murrieta is the only one that they've been broadcasting.
Okay. So, yeah, it probably was, because it was all the news trucks out there. But she was yelling to the crowd, from the crowd to the kids, you're breaking the law. Jesus wouldn't break the law.
Yeah, that was her. And you know what? It's like I wanted to just go down there, and I know it's during the day, so it's hard to see, you know, like a movie screen, but put up a sheet or something and just play the Little Rock 8 footage simultaneously while they're screaming at these kids. Play that footage so they could all see what they look like. They look like angry white people spitting and pushing on black kids who just want to get an education that their president said they could get. That's what it reminds me of. And
but
I
it's
keep
so
looking
crazy.
At the footage, and I don't see anybody of color involved in that dispute. And then I was telling you about the judge from Dallas County. They had a town hall, and there were some citizens who disagreed with him, and one of them was black, which was disappointing to me. But the difference was that they were very calm and respectful, and they had for the most part, their arguments were, we don't have the money to do this. We are cash-strapped. Who's going to house these kids? Who's going to feed them? One person did say, well, what about our schools? I don't want them in school with my kid. And that made me sad. I was hoping they would follow it up from a budgetary standpoint, but that part, you know, they do sound bites. They might have said that, and they just cut it. Hopefully they did. Because I understand the budgetary argument. I really, really do. And that's a reasonable argument. It may not be right, morally right, but it's a concern. You know,
it's a legitimate concern, right?
It's a legitimate concern. I get that. But honey, these people have just been out of control, and it just makes me want to cry, and it makes me disappointed to be a Californian. It makes me disappointed to be an American. We are a country of immigrants. I mean, you probably can quote what's on Ellis Island. Bring me your tire, your huddle masses, blah, 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 blah. I don't remember it all. But it's just ridiculous. And I just, you know, I hate it.
Well, as you so poignantly pointed out last week, New Mexico, Arizona, San Diego, all of these so-called border states, even Texas, the indigenous people of those states and the land that those states was cut from was Hispanic Mexican people.
Wait, Baja California, are you kidding me?
Everybody in this country except descendants of the native peoples are immigrants, except blacks who were slaves. You know, Asians, Chinese people came here to help build the railroads of their own volition. They came to make money. The pilgrims.
Well, some people were.
And
well,
the settlers,
some people were sent here as indentured servants and as prisoners.
True.
They were kicked out of their country. But your point still stands.
Yeah, but even those people sent over here for indentured servitude had the opportunity to, once they bought their freedom, they could have gone back, but they also could stay, and they all stay. You know, there are no people in this country except the native peoples, by definition the native peoples, who can claim this is their country.
Right, and some of those native peoples are Indians from Mexico.
Mexico.
There were Indian tribes that were native to here, and there were Indian tribes that were native to Mexico that came here before any of us came here.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, just the audacity and the people who are living in those states, in those cities, that are protesting loudly and crazily.
They didn't even get the irony.
Well, they don't even want to get the irony, but I would bet blindly bet that most of those people who are protesting are transplants from other states. Or families have transplanted there from other states, say the East or the North, and they've moved to those warmer climates.
Heck yeah. I mean,
so,
you know, California was barren and dangerous. So the Gold Rush.
Right, the minor 49ers.
You know, then people start coming out here for the gold rush, and then people start coming out here for the agriculture. I mean, half of Hollywood was an orange grove.
Right, and then, of course, the people who came out because California is, you know, they wanted to live in California. They wanted to live in the, you know, the land of la-la.
Well,
they wanted
and
to
then
quest.
Let's not even forget the military. I mean, the military, there were so many military bases in San Diego. It's hard. It at one point, you know, when I was growing up, it was hard to find a native San Diegan. I wasn't a native San Diegan. But there was a lot of military in San Diego. I think there might have been 6 or 7 bases at one point. There's bases all up and down the coast from Central California on down. A lot of people joined the military and then stayed.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, you know, Marietta was a sheep farm. It was a dust ball. And it's still heavily agricultural. And I bet dollars to donuts the people working in those fields are illegal immigrants. I bet you.
Yeah.
My entire life it was that way. You know, people used to complain, oh, they're coming over here and taking our jobs. I remember standing up in class in my freshman year of college and some white kid was saying that. I was like, you know damn well you're not going out there and picking no strawberries for $1 an hour, so you just sit down.
Right, and
you're not picking
no
strawberry, you're not picking no strawberry, you're not picking no lettuce, you're not picking soybeans, you're not digging up garlic. You're not sticking almonds out of the tree or picking olives. You just sit your ass down, and you're not milking no cow. So ain't nobody taking your job.
They do the jobs that we're not going to do. And it's just, there's so many photo ops. I mean, and I would like to see how many of these people who are out there just spent last month hanging out with Clive and Bundy.
Mhm. Yes. That, you know, while I have been upset with the people of Marietta, I know firsthand that it's not all the people of Marietta. And I'm sure that some of them are these Tea Partiers that were over in Nevada and drove over. Plus, there's the contingent of the people who call themselves the border peacekeepers. But the reason why I keep saying the people of Marietta is because their dumbass mayor is the one who started all this stuff. And I know some of the citizens are backing their mayor, and their stupid police department didn't do anything. They could have let those buses get past. I have to believe that they had word from high, on high to not let the buses come through. You know, and they're talking about bringing some kids up here to one of our communities. I just kind of heard it in passing. I haven't researched it. And there were some complaints then. If they try and pull some shenanigans up here and I'm in driving distance, oh, no, 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 no. Mm-mm. Not on my watch. I am not going to let that happen on my watch.
And that's what's so completely insane about the whole thing. These people are angrily protesting something. And you pointed it out, and I wanted to grab you when you said it. A lot of these people aren't even native Marianas.
Mm-mm.
They travel so they can protest. They left Nevada. They left Clive and Bundy's ranch so they could come find another reason to protest, find another place to protest. You know, and they want port. They want these kids deported. They don't want them in. Obama's administration has deported so many kids, so many Dreamers. And as you said again, they want to sue him for not doing his job. But they want him to send the kids back, which he's doing. But they're not happy with the speed at which he's doing it. Help me understand, because I don't understand. And then Not only the people who want to sue him, the John Boehners that want to sue him. Now you've got crackhead Palin wanting him impeached to the point that Eric Holder had to, you know, had to say what needed to be said.
Oh, he had to say the truth.
She's not relevant anymore. She was never relevant. She was a poor choice for VP candidate, and she's parlayed that into a cottage industry of her own. And even the people on the right are getting tired of her now. She needs to go sit down and shut up. She's had her time in the limelight that was way too long. Go away. Go away, sit down. Go back to doing whatever it is you were doing before you lucked up onto governorship of Alaska, and just go away.
So back to what I was saying about the local, I'm not needed because the proposal is that there are empty barracks, lots of empty barracks on JBLM, which is Joint Base Lewis and Cord. It's our Army base up here that's 20 miles south of me. And they want to use, they want to repurpose those barracks to house the children. And the surrounding areas are complaining about it. You know what? The surrounding areas over by JBLM is a ghetto. Shut up. You don't have any money anyway. But they can try and storm the base if they want to. They got it. They don't need me. I mean, what better way to do it? I mean, it's secure. It's quarantined. There are facilities on the base. There are beds better than them sleeping on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
There's a chow hall. It's a working base. And I don't want to hear no bullshit about terrorists. Ain't no 3-year-old gonna go in there and do. Yeah, the mayor of DuPont, which is one that's running, we have a safety concern. About what? A 3-year-old bandit? Are you kidding me right now?
Terrorizing the citizenry with those soiled diapers.
Right. He says you got a lot of people coming here with no known backgrounds. They're kids. Your own children don't have backgrounds. If your child has a background, you need to have a discussion.
I bet his child or children, if they're teenagers, have a background that he's paid to conveniently have hushed up.
You know? You know, and we all, you know, reallocate some of the, there you go. I mean, we can reallocate defense funds to do this because these kids would be on base. Getting hot showers, getting to sleep on a decent mattress. You know, I mean, it's not like my Sealy Posturepedic, but it's better than sleeping
on
the floor.
But then again, but it is a mattress instead of sleeping on the floor out in the wilderness.
Right. They could get medical attention. They have doctors and dentists on the base. They'll get 3 hots in a cot.
And education and become tax-paying citizens.
Right. You know, I don't know if JBLM is one of the Army bases that has like a, you know, military kids. No, it probably doesn't. That's on foreign soil. Foreign soil, they'll have schools on the base. But you know what? Whatever. Bring them babies up here, put them on the base, and let us take care of them. And I will figure out a way to get on base. You know, my uncle will be here with his base ID. I will have my uncle take me on the base, and I will go over there and hug every last one of them. And I will speak Pashtush.
Right. I was going to say, you'll speak Indian to these Mexican kids and wonder, these Hispanic kids and wonder why they're not speaking back.
Oh, all these
right,
children
right.
deaf
I'll,
and dumb.
Oh, right, I'll speak
little.
Hebrew. These poor
all
little
these
babies.
I'll start signing.
But here's the deal: I only know the alphabet, so I'd have to spell out each word.
And in their minds, they're thinking, "Why would they send the most ignorant person here on the outside?"
Can you imagine how long it would take to sign out a paragraph if you just have to spell each word individually? But shoot, like I said, I live 20 minutes from the base. If there's a way for me to be there, I will be there. I will be there with Pampers. Now, I'm not changing no diapers. I didn't change my own child's diaper unless my husband wasn't around or my mother.
See,
I don't have the stomach for it. I would, like, throw up, and then I'd have to wipe up her crap and my throw up. I couldn't do it. But I can deliver Pampers. You know, shoot. Please. It just don't make no sense. It just doesn't make no sense, you know. And that goes even deeper, like with the Dream Act. These are kids who have been here, who were brought here, no choice or fault of their own, who have been staying out of trouble and going to school, and then try to go to college and find out they can't because they have a bogus Social Security number. Or those who have managed to get, you know, beyond that, and some of them join the military, and they're not even legal citizens. We need immigration reform. We really, really do, and it needs to be humane. And we can't sit here and tell Syria. Are we telling Syria they have to take in refugees? We've told Middle East border countries and European border countries, you know, you must take in these people. You know, they're being persecuted. They're being robbed and murdered and raped. You have to, they're fleeing for their lives. And then we're not doing the same thing.
I you know, I'm not sure exactly what the policy is in Syria. I'll have to ask my oldest son to see what he has to say. If they can release him from his hospital bed, because I'm sure he's still recovering 2 years later from that stabbing shooting that happened while he was in the hospital bed when the secret police beat him up.
I don't know, man. I mean, the whole thing just makes me just upset. And I don't think, you know, I watched the Republicans, and they just jump from issue to issue on why he's, like, the worst president ever. And they contradict themselves, and they just make stuff out of whole cloth. And they always give him a double-edged sword. You must do something about immigration. Oh, look at that. He did something about immigration. He's an imperialist. He thinks he's King Obama.
Right.
He won't, you know, he's sitting here using executive orders to pass laws. Oh, but we're not going to bring anything to a vote. What is this man supposed to do? They stonewall him at every turn. They won't bring stuff to the floor. There was a bipartisan immigration bill that passed the Senate a year and 3 weeks ago. And Boehner hasn't brought it to the floor ever.
No. No. And that's the crazy thing
about
it.
I don't know if people know this, but if there's something to be discussed on the floor, Boehner, as Speaker of the House, has to allow it to happen.
It's part of his job. It's part of his job. Do you remember when his major issue with Nancy Pelosi is that he said she was ineffective and didn't know how to lead?
Right. And meanwhile, how many bills went through on her watch? Her two terms, like a total of like 600 or 800?
I was going to say, I think it's 4 or 5-1, but it's actually 400 or 500 to 1.
Yeah, because I think her first term, it was something like 300 and some change, and her second term was 400 and some change.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done like 15.
And this was under Bush. Spirit of cooperation,
right,
was there.
Part of it was Bush, part of it was Obama. She was in charge the first 2 years of his term. But nonetheless, are you kidding me right now? Not only did she do his job better than he did, he can't even control his own people.
Right.
You know, he is playing the shell game, trying to appease the, and I don't even know if we should call them Republicans anymore, because they're too liberal according to the Tea Party. He's trying to control the Tea Party and the Tea Party faction and the faction that used to be normal moderate Republicans, which could now possibly pass for Democrats.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's probably the most clear, concise way to call it. They would pass for liberals compared to what's passing as common sense, not common sense, but common thinking in the House these days.
And, you know, I used to watch C-SPAN for background noise. I don't even watch for background noise because I bought a new TV and I don't want my shoe hanging out of it.
I like my TV and I like my shoes too much.
Right. I pay too much for both.
Mm-mm. That's exactly why I don't watch Fox News. I can't afford a new television.
And if Nancy was in charge and all these these shenanigans wouldn't be going on, but let's say that Nancy's in charge during this immigration crisis, there would be no recess. You would not be going home for the summer. You keep your ass here until we figure out how to get this done.
Evidently, the understanding is that these people are being sent to Congress, are being elected to Congress, or running to go to Congress to just hold things up, just to stop, just to take over the government and have it do nothing.
Yeah.
And that serves what purpose?
Well, to send everybody home on recess, it serves Boehner's purpose.
Right, but I'm saying
because
it serves what purpose to help
the
country,
people.
For the American people,
right.
To go to Congress and not work to get things done, just to not do any work. Where other place, this world, can you take a job where you go to work to do nothing? And
right.
That's what is expected of you.
And that's the point that I'm making. It doesn't serve the American people's purpose, but it absolutely serves the purpose of Boehner's end game. If people go home for recess, his hands are clean. Because he's not overtly blocking the process. Well, you know, people have to go home to their districts, you know. This is what they do. Congress shuts down for 2 months, for the month of August every, you know, year.
Right, and then the crazy thing about it is they don't go home. They stay in D.C. and become part of the entire problem that they say they're going to D.C. to fight.
That's right. That's absolutely right. My congressperson shut down one of his offices already, the one that's closest to my house. Now, that's not a hardship on me because his second office is 15 miles away, but our district is so wide, now somebody has to drive 30 miles if they want to go to his office as opposed to 15. He shut the one that's in the middle. He doesn't do anything anyway, but I can't get rid of him. I've tried my best, but part of my district, I have on so many levels. I went and sat in that man's D.C. office. He's the reason I got to the inauguration, because I sat in his office for three hours with my mother, and he finally gave us tickets. But don't think I sat there silently for 3 hours. You know, I gave him credit for taking care of my city because he has pushed through funds for things to help my city, and I gave him credit for that. But he still listens to the Microsoft people. They lumped my city used to be agricultural and blue collar, but now it's a suburb for all the people who work at Microsoft. But, you know, we're still... You know, our per capita income in my city is half of what it is over by Microsoft, and they lumped us together. We have a very, very poor, we have a section that's lower lower class, we have this section that's middle class where I live, and then we have the section where the Microsoft millionaires live and where Microsoft itself is. Microsoft is in my district. Who's he going to listen to? All those people out there who need tax shelters and, you know, death tax shelters and heritage shelters, and they need to protect their literally million-dollar homes. And their gazillion-dollar business. So, it is what it is. He'll probably get another term. And I'm just really disgusted. And I don't even remember the last time. I don't think there's ever been a Democrat running my district, not since I moved here. It's always been Republican, even though this is a purple district. It's always been Republican since 1996.
Jeez. So 1996 was 18 years ago?
Yep, it's been. And it might have been Republican before I moved here, so I'm not sure. I don't know that history right now.
So being that you were 7 at the time, that means you're really up on your history.
Well, you know, it's required to you're required to take Washington State history in your classes.
I got you.
Don't start none, won't be none. Don't bring no SH, won't be no IT.
I'm trying to help you, Ike.
Nah, like I said, don't bring no SH, won't be no IT.
I don't know why he won't let me help you. This math stuff can be hard.
Well, you know you're my bail guy. If I have to go on the base and show my behind, you're going to have to bail me out.
Well, it's going to be kind of hard because I don't think they're going to let me bail you out while I'm in the cell beside you.
Right. See, Your Honor, what had happened was...
I'd like to bail her out, and she will bail me out, and we will be out.
Right, and I didn't know I wasn't speaking Spanish. I thought I had to speak Farsi. You spoke Farsi on base, ma'am? Well, and your name is Kamal? Well,
Marshall.
See, when you put it like that, when you put it like that.
that's when you turn and say, Yale, explain Yale.
Yeah, tell him. Yale, tell him.
Yeah, I don't know her.
Well, Mr. Beverly, it seems that you have a son that's in the Middle East, and he was arrested for some shenanigans.
Yes, because his mother brainwashed him because she stole my sperm in my sleep.
So we got Kamal speaking Farsi on base. And Yale with a son who was hospitalized by the Muslim Sikh police.
His additional son who was hospitalized.
I didn't say Sharia law. I said Sharice.
Right, Sharice Lawson.
Yeah, that's what I said, Sharice Lawson. I said nothing about Sharia law.
You don't know Sharia Lawson? Sharia law?
I haven't said Assalamu alaikum since 1980. I haven't said Assalamu alaikum since 1989.
I know Deborah and Ronnie laws. That's all the laws. I know, Your Honor.
Right.
Puff,
right.
Pass, bro. Puff, pass. Woo, child, I tell you what. I'm going to send you a bucket of this rain. You
here,
send me a bucket.
Have my rain bag.
I'm gonna send your rain bag.
Please have my rain
bag.
Send
your rain bag to you.
We're
you
miserable.
Need to take your rain bag. Because I can't fish when it's coming down like this, and I like to fish.
Yeah. All right, same bad time.
Same bad channel.
Love you. See you next week.
Love you. Check your email.
Bye,
from
America.
Me.